for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So it's real to real, and we're going to kick off today's teaching with my favorite verse. My favorite verse is found in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus himself looked his disciples in the eye, and he said, I've come that you might just survive through life. You know, just kind of get through. And I came that you might have life that gets you to heaven where real life happens. That's John 10, 10. Turn to your neighbor and say, baloney. It's not my favorite verse. Jesus came and he said this to his disciples. He said, I come that you, turn to your neighbor and say, you. That you might have life and have it to the full, abundant life, flowing, spilling over kind of life. Jesus did not come for you to have a ho-hum, just get through kind of life so you get to heaven. He came that you and I might have a life of joy and peace and happiness. I like that verse. Turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger. We keep our driver finger in the pocket, right? And say, you were made for joy. You were made for joy. Every single person in this room was made for joy. It's my favorite verse, but everybody say, oh, bummer. It's not the whole verse. That's really not the whole verse. That's the second half of the whole verse. You see, the first part in John chapter 10, verse 10, that I sometimes overlook. Because I really like that made for joy part. I mean, yes. How many of you like to hear that you were made for joy and you're longing for that, even if you're not experienced that? Yes. Oh, but there's something before the joy part, and here's what it is. Jesus, before he said that he's given us an abundant life, came for us to have abundant life, he said this. It's a dramatic pause to make sure you're with me. You with me? He said there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. But there's a thief. And so whether you're here for the first time or the millionth time, and if you're here for the millionth time, that's amazing because they haven't been around that long. But we're going to do a little Christian theology, because everywhere in the good book, there's a villain. And Christian theology tells us that there's an enemy of our souls. And we would be remiss to not bring this point up from time to time. There's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to get at this thief concept in your life by telling you one thing. Are you ready? Yes. You are a troll. Watch this for a minute. And the trolls are eaten by these Bergens. You see, every good story, every powerful story that Hollywood has produced has a villain, has an enemy. And why does every good story have an enemy? Here's why, because your story has an enemy. Now, if you've been here over the years as we've gone through the Real to Real series time and again, you've heard this theme come up at least once every time we do Real to Real. And you might be saying to yourself, oh, this again? Why are we talking about the enemy again? Well, because I'm telling you, most of us live our lives intellectually knowing the theology of Christianity that says there is a demonic evil force. We understand that here, but we don't live our lives that way. So if you're sitting out there saying, why is he teaching on the enemy again? Because maybe this time it's going to get through our thick skulls and we'll actually live like it's a reality. Turn to your neighbor and gently tap him on the head and say, you got a thick skull? You see, you can't read the Bible without looking at the enemy of our souls. He's in Eden and he's at the end. At the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were naked and happy, just like those trolls, they didn't have pants on there. Did you notice that? That was before the fall. They were naked and happy. The enemy came and he lied. And then he's at the end battling with God for the end of it all. And just so you know, it's not a fair fight. God's going to whoop him, right? So he was in Eden and he was at the end. He was with Job, he was with Jesus. You can't help but see Satan throughout the scripture, and we need to live our lives as if there's an enemy of our story who, like the Bergens in the troll story, is set against our joy. You were made for joy, but there's a thief who comes to steal, and he wants to take your joy. And the Bible reveals him as the serpent, the dragon, the liar, the accuser, the divider. Satan is his name. He steals joy. He's evil. So maybe, get this, maybe you've been in that rough stretch. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you stood up because you have pulse, you got issues. Maybe you've been in the rough stretch where your issues are getting the best of you. Maybe the addictions are winning the battle. Maybe the relationships are broken. Maybe the depression is high. Maybe the junk in your world is there because there's an enemy who's been whooping on you and you had no idea he was battling. There's an enemy of your soul, and you're foolish if you ignore it. But hang on. That's the point. There's an enemy, but really, that's not the point. The point is, did you see that? I just hit puberty right there. The point is that you were made for joy. You were made for joy. There's a thief set against it, but I don't want you to forget the big point, the good point of why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to create religious people who sit right in church. He didn't come to create a religious body that's always looking down their noses at people. He came to create a people who are filled with joy. And Christians ought, are there any Christians in the house? Yeah, I'm glad there's 12 of you. That's great. Christians ought to be so marked with joy that people look at him and say, man, that dude's weird. Because even in the midst of junk, joy transcends. So let me just drive that point home. And I want you to see the joy of the trolls and realize this is the joy God. You know, some of you don't like dancing and singing, but you can be smarter than that, right? Fill in your dancing and singing. I want you to get a good picture of the joy you were created for. Check this out. Just a short clip. So you were made for joy. But that's the second half of the verse. To get to the second half, you got to go through the first half. There's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And let's see this in wonderful cinematography, visual effect. Evil sees the joy and doesn't like it. Trolls. Did you know that the Apostle Peter, he was one of Jesus' buddies, man. He said this in the book he wrote. It's called 1 Peter. Any idea what the second book that Peter wrote is called?
2 Peter.
Smart people. In 1 Peter, he said, your adversary or your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. There's an adversary of your soul that's worse than any Bergen in a troll movie who comes to devour the goodness and the joy in your life. And so I want you to, can you guys handle like a 2-minute clip? Are you okay for that?
Yeah.
So I want you to watch this 2-minute clip and just visualize with your God goggles on the reality that there's a thief who comes to steal your joy, who wants to rob the goodness that the Lord has for you and put you in bondage. So you can handle this. Evil comes. 2 minutes. And so this, in the story, is where the rubber hits the road. Or if you prefer, this is where the real hits the real. So there is an enemy of our souls who wants to rob us of our joy. And he has 3 main weapons that the scriptures reveal. The first is he's an expert liar. Jesus in John chapter 8 called him the father of lies and said when he lies, he speaks his native language. He's a liar. We see in Revelation chapter 12 that he's the accuser. It says in the old King James Version, the accuser of the brethren. I'm going to assume it includes the sistren too. He's a liar and he's an accuser. And throughout the scriptures, you see that he brings division, a third tool. He loves to divide. And throughout the entire scriptures, we see that Satan lies, accuses, and divides. And this is where the real hits your real. So let me just ask you a few questions. I'm wondering if his lies have been prevalent in your head. Pay elbow your neighbor. This is where people kind of zone out. I've been up here for a few minutes, you know. So elbow your neighbor and say, pay attention. He's talking to you. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you. I'm wondering if his lies, the enemy of your soul, the soul Bergen, has been lying to you. And you can answer that question this way. How many of you have really crappy thoughts about yourself on a regular basis? So if you've been here any length of time, you know that depression has haunted me over the years. You know, I've been up, I've been down, I've been on Zoloft, I've been in therapy. Today, I feel pretty free, thank God for that. But I know that at times when the depression is heaviest, the lies of the enemy are whispering in my head, and I think very lowly of myself. In fact, I couldn't even use the language, well, anywhere publicly that I'm hearing running through my mind when I'm in a bad place. The lies say that you're worthless, you're useless, you can't do anything, you'll never amount to anything. How many of you have heard such lies in your life? I'm telling you, you think it's just your mind working, but I'm telling you, there's an enemy of your soul who's been whispering lies in your ear. Or how about this? I'm sure you're not talking about anybody in the room, right? Just say, that's right. But how many of you have had those thoughts about that one person who always does that thing? And it always bugs you. We're talking about nobody in the room, right? It's about that other person who's not here, right? But how many of you have had those thoughts where, you know, you just walk in a room and you've been happy and you've been good, but you see that one person and all of a sudden you begin to think of all the stupid things that they've done. And you've said things in your mind like, man, they always do that. Have you ever thought about somebody? They always do that. Has anybody ever had that thought? Yeah, I've read about people like you who do that, yeah. I'm telling you, that might not be your thinking. It might be the Bergen of your soul, the enemy of your soul, the one revealed as Satan, the serpent, and the great dragon, whispering accusations against that one. I wonder how many marriages have ended because the accusations ran amok. And a husband or a wife had thoughts about the other that just kept going that way. He, she, always, always. I'm telling you, one of his greatest tools is the accusation. And then there's that division. Loves to divide. And I'm wondering if you have division in your life, if it's actually the work of the Lord. Now, sometimes we're just stupid, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, sometimes you're stupid. If you're a visitor, we're not talking to you. You're never stupid. Well, that's not true. Y'all are stupid. Sometimes we're just stupid. And sometimes our stupidity gets us into trouble and the enemy of our souls doesn't have to work. But sometimes the divisions and broken relationships in our life isn't really about our stupidity, but about the enemy of our souls bringing division because there is a thief, Jesus said it, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is literally hell-bent on the destruction of anything joyful in our lives. So let me just say this. The trolls have a Bergen. And you have a demonic horde set against you. Now, I'm just shining light on some good Christian theology here. But what do we do? What? 9-second clip, short one. What's going to happen now, Princess Poppy? I don't know, but I know. Do anybody know what she says? She says this. I'll let you in. I'll fill you in. She says, we're going to quit. Shut up. I'm talking. You're right. She doesn't say we're going to quit. No, she doesn't. She says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pretend like the Bergens don't exist. We're going to put our foot down. Everybody put your foot down. And we're just going to intellectually agree with their existence, but in reality, we're going to live as if they don't exist, because if we pretend that the battle ain't real, it won't affect us. Did you see her cheesy grin? That's exactly what she said. Wow. That's a direct quote, man. That's kind of creepy. How do you know that? He said they have the movie and they've watched it more times than a human should. And I wonder if they're, but I don't know if that's true. I wonder if they're drawn to the movie because they're drawn to the reality in the story that's their reality. She goes, we're not going to give up. She doesn't say we're going to pretend like the Bergens don't exist. We're going to pretend like all is happy. She says, no, we're not going to give up. And so to those of you who have been a victim, and I'm thinking everyone in this room at one point has, to those of you who are a victim to the enemy's lies, to the enemy's accusations, to the enemy's divisions, I want to tell you to not give up. And I want to tell you that there's a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Don't ever give up. I want to tell all of you who have fallen victim to the enemy unknowingly. See, just because he doesn't exist in your mind doesn't mean he's not whooping on you. I want to tell every single one of you, do not give up. I want to tell you about my tattoos on my arm. Hang on. Gotta watch. Why are you laughing, Mrs. Wife over there? That's my wife's laugh, I can tell. Can anybody read that, these two words? Yeah, thank you. My kids know. Way to go. He has really good eyesight. More than. Right there. More than. I want to tell you, don't ever get up, and I want to, don't ever give up. You can get up, but don't ever give up. And I want to tell you what Paul tells us, that you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You don't have to live a defeated life. Oh, Satan's big and strong. You can rise up and fight because there's a name that's above every name. And you, my friends, are more than a conqueror. Jesus makes it clear. He says, oh, yeah, in this life you'll have trouble. But don't give up, because he goes on to say, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Don't ever give up. And, you know, I told you he's at the end and he's at the Eden, right? Satan, it's over for him. He likes to huff and puff and pretend. He's like that little, I'm sorry if this is offensive to you Chihuahua owners. Have you ever been around one of them annoying little Chihuahuas? They run at you. And many times when people see teeth, no matter how small or big, and they run away, right? It's just a Chihuahua. Amen. My foot's bigger than a Chihuahua. If you just stand in the face of the barking dog, the dog's going to run, because his days are numbered. You know the end of the story. If you read the end of the good book, in the book of Revelation, he's lost. He's been cast out. He's been cast down. And he's just running around barking and nipping and trying to scare people into he's bigger. He's not, because you have a name that's above every name. So don't ever, ever give up. So let me give you one quick image real quick. As you jump on your faith journey, so many of you aren't yet followers of Christ. That's great. The river exists for all people with all understandings and belief systems. But maybe today's the day that you walk into a relationship with the one who has the name that's above every name. Maybe that's where your victory begins. And maybe today you become a seed in your faith journey. Maybe it's time for you to up the ante and move down and become a root in your faith journey, or become a tree. Just grow and don't ever give up in your faith journey. So let me show you one more clip. This is just 16 seconds. I want to give you a picture of who you're made to be. So the battle has been engaged. The timid have become warriors. That's a great line. Maybe they'll get it better than you. I said the timid have become warriors. Ooh. They're no longer hiding. They're no longer pretending it doesn't exist. They've decided to engage in the battle. And I want you to get an image of how I want to send you out. Go ahead and check this out. That's a picture of the spiritual calling on your life. Look at Princess Poppy's face. Look at that one who pooped cupcakes face. I mean, they're ready to do battle. They said enough is enough. We're tired of life stinking. We're tired of issues getting the best of us. And doggone it, we have a purpose. And we're going to fight for the purpose. So this is the reality that you're being called into. There is an enemy of your soul. He's called a thief who loves to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm telling you to get up, rise up, fight it up a little bit, because Jesus said you have been given a life. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. So there's a thief. That's week one. We've got three more weeks to go. Next week, we're going to be looking at a movie called Lion. Cried in that movie. The weeks after that, Star Wars, and then Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge, we're going to dismiss the children as we do once a month. It's a little intense, Hacksaw Ridge. And the Star Wars week, just to give you a heads up, there's some Star Wars laser things going on, stormtroopers going down. So if that's not your thing with your kids, totally get it. You've been warned. Now, I have a commission. And it comes straight from the mouth of Prince. Block party. Go party like it's 1999.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.